Lean Gocher, I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, to acknowledge the Lord. And then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is an audio of the issue I've written. Does anybody get it? Let's begin with 2 Thessalonians 2, 11, and 12. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. As I inserted in the writing, and for this cause, and I add, because men, as children of disobedience, justify their self, justify their love of self and the world, that is, their love of the carnal pleasures of the moment, which is dopamine emancipation, which the world stimulates, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority, over and therefore against doing the Father's will. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I add, that pleasure is a standard for good instead of doing the Father's will. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, that is, in the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, that is, in their self, and the pleasures of the moment which the world stimulates. It is not about the other guy or government. It is about you, that is, your heart. It is God who raises up nations, and it is He who brings them down. He turns them over to their own demise, in other words, to their own lusts. He looks at the heart of the people to determine what to do with a nation. With the nation and the world now lusting after pleasure as never before, refusing to be told, is it worth saving? If you do not address your heart, you have addressed nothing. It is where everything starts. Romans 7, 7. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Without being told, we would not know. Proverbs 14:1 and 15:32 read, Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Ephesians 6:1-3, Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Then in Psalms 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. To remove any confusion, the Father is above all. He is the only one we answer to in the end, who has the final say. Matthew 23:9. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Ecclesia 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Romans 14:12. every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 1 John 2:18. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Anything or anyone you put between you and the Father, the Heavenly Father, is lust. What he says you can do is not sin. What he says you cannot do, and you do, it is sin. While the earthly Father and the heavenly Father have the same paradigm, only the heavenly Father is perfect, that is, right, all the time. Those of and for the world, that is, only of and for stimulus response, having rejected the heavenly Father's authority, seek to negate the earthly Father's authority in order to rule the world without having to obey the law, that is, so they can lust without being judged, condemned, and cast out, so they can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is, lust, removing anyone who gets in their way, including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous, without having a guilty conscience, which is engendered by the Father's authority. Those of the deep state are built upon stimulus response, that is, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is, sensuous needs, sense perception, and sense experience, and the world that stimulates it. Success in their eyes is having fancy houses, fancy cars, fancy boats, fancy trips, fancy women, that is, all that the world of pleasure has to offer them. As the woman in the garden in Eden, making themselves God over all the creation, that is, what they see they own. It starts with the child touching everything in the store. George Washington, farewell address. Despotism predominates in the human heart. Anything or anyone the person in government puts between the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that is, what he has sworn to uphold, and the citizen, who he is sent to represent, is lust, that is, self-interest. Put another way, anyone in government who puts his self-interest above the Constitution, in other words, he refuses governance, is the enemy of the citizens, has become a despot. The king issue, that is, despotism, was solved by the American Revolution and the Constitution, making the father, that is, the head of the home, the king, limiting the power of government with his right of conviction, that's freedom of religion and speech, right of property, that's the right to bear arms, and the right of business, with his right to hold his children accountable to his standards, with no one coming between them and him except God, with the children, the next generation of citizens, learning there is right and there is wrong behavior. Even though the father can be wrong, the children, knowing he is wrong, sustain the right-wrong way of thinking, that they will be held accountable for their thoughts when spoken, and their actions, developing a guilty conscience in them for doing wrong, sustaining the father's authority system in them when they grow up and leave home, that is, when they start a family of their own. Only by limiting the power of government can the traditional family, that is the Father's authority system, be initiated and sustained under God. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 7. Cursed be the man that trusts in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. But fathers, now depending upon the government to feed their lusts, both go hand in hand, instead of trusting in the Lord, like children in adult bodies, have replaced their God-given liberties with the pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, that the government guarantees, turning their children over to the government to educate them, instead of training them up in the admonition of the Lord themselves. Lust for the good life, that is, for the pleasures of the moment being more important to them than doing the Father's will. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hebrews 12:5-11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When you bring social or socialist worth or social or socialist cause into the courtroom, for example, the rights of the individual are, that is, the Father's authority is, negated. It is the difference between the Tower of Babel, socialist government, and being scattered, limited, and local government. You cannot get any more local than the middle-class home, with the father in control, with the latter engendering individualism under God. The reason the traditional home is so vehemently hated by those of and for the world. George Lukacs' History of Class Consciousness, What is Orthodox Marxism? The central problem is to change reality. Reality with its obedience to law. Wilford Bean, a memoir of the future. Prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. The empty space is the child or men's thoughts. Everything God created is based upon stimulus response, that is, upon approach pleasure and avoid pain for organisms. That was until he created man. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God then did something else with man that he did with nothing else in the creation. He told him how he was to behave, what was right and what was wrong behavior, that is, what he could and could not do. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in a day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Only man can read or write a book, tell others and be told what is right and what is wrong behavior. All the rest of the creation is stimulus response. When man turns to stimulus response, that is lust, and the world that stimulates it, in order to establish behavior, he rejects the Father's authority, That is, he rejects being told what is right and what is wrong behavior. Those of and for the world turn to stimulus response. Quote, create a healthy environment and you can create a healthy person. In defiance to God and His Word, that all have sinned, needing a Savior. Jeremiah 10:23. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. They do this so they can sin, that is, lust, without having a guilty conscience, that is, without being judged, condemned, and cast out. At least in their mind, until death, that is, judgment. Rejecting being told, thus rejecting doing what they are told, they reject faith. That is, they reject their salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, that is, by being told, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What we have today in government is, quote, lawfulness without law, where the law of the flesh, that is lust, that is self-interest, rules without the law of God, that is righteousness, quote, getting in the way. That's from Immanuel Kant, Critique of Judgment. That part, lawfulness without law, that quote. Sidebar. When you leave the Lord out of your conversation with others, so you can witness to them in the future, you have already witnessed to them godlessness in your godless conversation with them now. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That was not always the case. In 1941, our Supreme Court wrote, every system of law known to civilized society generated from or had its component one of two well-known systems of ethics, Stoic or Christian. I'll emphasize man's opinions or rule of law. Continuing, quote, the common law draws its subsistence from the latter. Its roots go deep into that system. The Christian concept of right and wrong, of right and justice, motivates every rule of equity. It is the guide by which we dissolve domestic frictions and the rule by which all legal controversies are settled. That's Strauss versus Strauss, number 3, S.O., page 727, 728, 1941. In 1973, our Supreme Court, following after the ideology of Karl Marx, that is, quote, the justice of state constitutions is to be decided not on the basis of Christianity, not from the nature of Christian society, but from the nature of human society, replacing the law of restraint, that is, the Father's authority, with the law of the flesh, that is, lust, disguised as self-control, wrote, quote, there has always been strong support for the view, that is, an opinion, that life does not begin until live birth. That was the belief of the Stoics. The first quote by Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. The second quote from the Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade, 410 U.S., pages 113 and 115, 1973. The conservative court uses discussion, that is, it is written, that is, what the Constitution says in dealing with issues, with the Constitution having the final say. The liberal court uses dialogue, that is, I, or we feel, and I, or we think, that is, their opinion, in dealing with issues, with their lust for pleasure and resentment towards restraint having the final say. The former is objective, deductive reasoning, restraining lust. The latter is subjective, inductive reasoning, justifying lust. The same is true for all activities of life. Does anybody get it? Everyone is going after organizations, people, etc., instead of addressing the real problem. That is the heart of man. That is sin. That is lust and the issue of righteousness. Dare I say it without being censored? Which I have been by conservative radio, as well as by the church. 2 Peter 2 and 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Feigned words means plastic words in Greek. In other words, through your lust, if I can find your lust, and offer to help you, quote unquote, which I'm really going to use to help me, I can use you. I can own you. Continuing. All I have to do is get a child, your child, or your spouse, your educator, your town council, your legislator, your judge, the media, your sheriff, your boss, your minister, and on, who is raised in a traditional home, that is, taught to do right and not wrong by being told, to share or dialogue his feelings and thoughts regarding what he has been told he cannot do, that he wants to do, without having to fear being judged, condemned, or cast out, and I own him. You think your homeschooled child can withstand this? I hope they can, but those oven for the world are looking forward to have them in your classes to practice their wares on them, to cook them. If they do not know the Lord personally, doing the Father's will being their heart's desire, they are game. That is the mark of the day. If they refuse to participate or resist, maintaining their faith, they are a witness for their faith. The Greek word for witness being martyrius. That is, they will and must be martyred for the group's sake. It is what the master facilitator of change, the master psychotherapist, did to the woman in the Garden of Eden, with Adam following after her, Genesis 3, 1 through 6. For example, by think tanks, that is social psychologists or facilitators of change, identifying your legislator's weakness, that is what he is lusting after, and entrapping him, that is, providing him opportunity to participate in activities that satisfy his lusts, at least in his imagination, and helping him remain in office in the next election, he is progressively drawn towards supporting their ideology, no longer representing his constituents, at least not the conservative, narrow-minded ones. His loyalty is now towards those who justify his self-interest, resulting in passing laws that increase their influence in government, their control over the people, passing laws that makes the people, that make the people subject to their financial gain. While he may not profit much financially while in office, other than fancy trips, parties, entertainment, perks, and other privileges, and contact with important and famous people, providing his loyalty to the think tanks, that is, the deep state, continues to the end, he will be supported, reap the reward in retirement, having served their purpose all along. Doing it in a group makes it even easier. Kurt Lewin and Kenneth Bonet, Human Relations and Curriculum Change. It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. All teachers are trained in and certified by and schools accredited based upon their use of this method or curriculum in their classroom, including Christian. Kenneth Manet, a change in the curriculum is a change in the people concerned, in teachers, in students, in parents. Curriculum change means that the group involved must shift its approval from the old to some new set of reciprocal behavioral patterns. People involved who are loyal to the older pattern must be helped to transfer their allegiance to the new. Re-education aims to change the system of values and beliefs of an individual or a group. Unquote. Excuse me. The old education system, or old school, curriculum, is based upon the father's authority system, where the educator, one, preaches established commands and rules to be obeyed as given, teaches established facts and truth to be accepted as is by faith, and discusses with the students any questions they may have regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth being taught at the teacher's discretion. That is, providing he or she deems it necessary, has time, the students are able to understand, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking authority. Two, rewards the students who do right and obey. Three, corrects and or chastens the student who does wrong or disobeys, that he might learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate himself, in order to do right and not wrong according to the established commands, rules, facts, and truth he has been taught, that has been told. That is, in order to do the Father's will. And four, casts out or expels and grounds any student who questions, challenges, defies, disregards, attacks the Father's authority system, which retains the Father's authority system in the student's thoughts and actions, resulting in the student knowing, in caps, right from wrong from being told, especially when it comes to behavior. The new education system, or curriculum, is based upon the feelings and thoughts of the students, who are seduced, deceived, and manipulated, as Thorndike's chickens, Skinner's rats, Pavlov's dog, by the facilitator of change, that is, the psychotherapist. Remember, it is based upon stimulus response, not upon being told. Bloom's taxonomies, by which all educators are certified and schools accredited today, are, quote, a psychological classification system, unquote, used, quote, to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. The student must feel free to say he disliked whatever and not have to worry about being punished for his reaction. Quote, there are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. That's found in David Crathwell, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Effective Domain. In the first book, with Bloom, Benjamin Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive Domain, we read, quote, we recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative, and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all times and places. Karl Marx's ideology, explained by Frederick Engels, was, quote, in the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, unquote, that is, when you use dialogue, that is, your feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world, that the current situation or people or person is stimulating, the group the child's in is stimulating, in order to determine right and wrong behavior without fear of being judged, condemned, or cast out. Continuing, quote, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred, unquote. Sound familiar? That's Bloom's taxonomies. All teachers are certified in your community with. Not all teachers like this. A lot of them hate it. They just don't know what it is. If, according to Karl Marx, quote, nothing is established for all times and nothing is absolute or sacred, then the father's authority system must be removed from the environment, that is, from the classroom, in order for the individual, the student, to do what comes naturally to him in the current situation, making reasoning subject to stimulus response, subject to the individual's lusts and resentments of the moment that the world, that the current situation or object, people, or person is stimulating, instead of doing right and not wrong according to what he has been told. Karl Marx, in Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, writes, wrote, laws must not fetter human life, that is, inhibit or block lust, but yield to it. They must change as the needs, that is, lusts, and capacities, that is, interests and attractions of lust, of the people change. Continuing with Bloom's second book, The Affective Domain, he writes, and I'm going to insert, so it's better to read along if you're listening here. The affective domain, and I add how you feel when it comes to right and wrong behavior directly affecting what you think, continuing, is, and this is Bloom, in retrospect, a virtual Pandora's box. Well, see, Pandora's box is a box or jar full of evils, which once open cannot be closed. Once parental authority, that is the father's authority, that is fear of judgment, the lid is removed, it is difficult, if not impossible, to put it back on again. Bloom continues, it is in this box that the most influential controls are to be found. In fact, a large part of what we call good teaching is the teacher's ability to attain effective objectives. I insert, liberating students' feelings from his or her parents' authority, from the father's authority system. Backing up again. In fact, a large part of what we call good teaching is a teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging the student's fixed beliefs. Who gave those children those fixed beliefs? See, that is pressuring the students out of fear of group rejection to publicly, in the group, for the sake of group approval, question, challenge, disregard, defy, attack, and so forth, the parents, commands, rules, facts, and truth. Picking up, Bloom says, and then getting them to discuss issues. In other words, evaluating the world through their carnal desires, their lusts, their self-interest in the moment, that which they have in common with one another. Quote, allows the individual, the student, a greater amount of freedom in which to achieve a Weltanschauung. That's the German word for worldview or paradigm. And he gives a footnote on Weltanschauung. And at the bottom, Bloom's Weltanschauung, as he noted, was that of two Marxists. Now realize, your teachers, every teacher in this nation, teachers around the world, communist China, are trained on Bloom's taxonomies. They are your Bible in education. Been so since the 50s. Nobody has exposed them. And Bloom admits that the worldview of these taxonomies are from Marxists. And he gives us the name, the two men, Erich Fromm, in his book Escape from Freedom, 1941, and Theodor Adorno, in his book The Authoritarian Personality, 1950. Here's what Erich Fromm, in his book Escape from Freedom, wrote, that Bloom built the taxonomy that every teacher in our nation, including Christian colleges and universities, professors are required to use to develop their curriculum, their syllabi in the classroom. Goes on unabated. Nobody has addressed this. I just contend in the 50s when we removed God from the schools, God removed his hand of protection. Said, America, you're on your own. And the church sat aside and did nothing. Quote, this is from the Marxists that Bloom refers to as the worldview of the taxonomy. Quote, we are proud that in his conduct of life, man has become free from external authorities which tell him what he can and cannot do. Do you understand? We are proud that God is no longer in the classroom. Wert proud that God is no longer in your child's heart and thoughts and in his communication. That's what he's saying here. All that matters is that the opportunity for genuine activity be restored to the individual, that the purpose of society, which is lust, and of his own, which is lust, become identical. This is in the book. To give up God and to establish a concept of man as a being who can feel at home in the world if he achieves union with his fellow man and with nature. In other words, with his and others' carnal nature in the world that stimulates it. That's Benjamin Bloom, the taxonomy for all teachers to use in the classroom. Welton Schoen. And then Theodore Adorno, in Authoritarian Personality, he writes, authoritarian submission. And what's that? Well, that's humbling, denying, dying to, controlling, disciplining, capitulating yourself in order to do the Father's will. See, that's Jesus humbling and, you know, Jesus said, I can do nothing of my own self. What my Father commands, that's what I do. That's an authoritarian submission. He writes, what's conceived of as a very general attitude that would be evoked in a relation of a variety of authority figures, parents, older people, leaders, supernatural power, and so forth. God is conceived more directly, not conceived, see, that's created. Man creates God in their ideology. God is conceived more directly after a parental image and thus as a source of support and as a guiding and sometimes punishing authority. Submission to authority, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state, and see, that would be parental authority, local control, nationalism, and so forth, have so frequently, and as it seems to us correctly, been set forth as important aspect of the Nazi creed that a search for correlates of prejudice had naturally to take these attitudes into account. Family relationship are characterized by fearful subservience to the demands of the parents and by an early suppression of impulses not acceptable to them. The power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seem of importance to our problem. Now, the error in Adorno's logic is that all forms of socialism, including fascism, must negate the father's authority in the home, in the individual, in order to initiate and sustain the socialist control over the people. Max Horkheimer, in his book Reasoning and Self-Preservation, writes, Protestantism was the strongest force in the extension of cold, rational individualism. Even the Marxist Max Horkheimer recognized the effect of an individual putting no one or thing between him and the Father, no man, no institution, no lust. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You cannot do the Father's will with lust, yourself, or your self-interest, which includes the approval of men in the way. Doing so liberates you in your mind from the Father and his authority until judgment day. The there and then, that is accountability for one's thoughts and actions, is replaced with the here and now. What one can get out of the situation or object, people or person for himself. When lust comes between the person and the Father, that is when self-interest comes between the elected official and the Constitution. In Norman Brown, Life Against Death, the psychoanalytical meaning of history, he writes, the individual, I would add the student, is emancipated, I add, is liberated from the father's authority, in the social group, that is in the group grade. Freud commented that only through the solidarity of all participants could the sense of guilt, that's the guilty conscience, which is engendered by the father's authority, be assuaged. Again, Freud commented that only through the solidarity of all the participants could the sense of guilt be assuaged. Self-perfection of the human individual is fulfilled in union with the world in pleasure. According to Freud, the ultimate essence of our being is erotic. Eros is fundamentally a desire for union with objects in the world. Eros is the foundation of morality. Karl Marx's thesis on Feuerbach, number 6. The real nature of man is the totality of social relations. The real nature of man is the totality of social relations. Irving Yalom in Theory and Practice in Group Psychotherapy writes, there is no more important issue than the interrelationship of the group members. To question the value or activity of the group would be to thrust himself into a state of dissonance. Few individuals, as Ash has shown, can maintain their objectivity, that's the loyalty to the father, in the face of apparent group unanimity. The father demands no compromise. The group does. John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Matthew 12:50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Barker, Dembo, and Lewin, in Frustration and Regression, Experiment with Young Children in Child Behavior and Development. Fascinating read, by the way. Fascinating. Anyway, he writes, and I'm going to insert a lot of my stuff, so it'd be important to read it from the written article or issue. So you won't know by my reading what he said or what I'm adding. I'm just trying to make it clearer to understand. Change in organization from loyalty to the father who condemns your lusts to loyalty to the group and the facilitator of change who justifies your lusts can be derived from the overlapping between play and barrier behavior. You see, that's between dialogue and discussion, which when used together in establishing right and wrong behavior engenders confusion. That's called cognitive dissonance. With the pressure of the group, your desire for approval and fear of rejection by the group, with dialogue, your self-interest, your lust for pleasure, dopamine emancipation controlling the outcome. Yeah, you wonder which direction you're going to go when you bring the play and barrier behavior, the dialogue and discussion together, and the lust is brought up and it's not judged and condemned. Where do you think the children are going to go? Why is this process so successful? By simply bringing dialogue into an environment establishing right and wrong behavior, the father's authority system, that is doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, is negated, making the participants, that is their lust for pleasure and dissatisfaction with, resentment toward, hatred of restraint, right or good, and the father's authority, having to do the father's will instead of yours, wrong, evil. We start that again. By simply bringing dialogue into an environment establishing right and wrong behavior, the father's authority doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, and facts and truth is negated. All the master facilitator of change has to do in the Garden of Eden was to get the woman to share her lust of the moment in a non-judgmental environment where she could justify it, and he owned her. He changed her paradigm. He changed her way of feeling, thinking, and acting toward herself, others, the world, and authority. The same is true for the educator. The educator, the facilitator of change, the group psychotherapist, does not have to tell the students to question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack your authority as a parent when they get home from school. If they're not doing that already, telling them would be old school, maintaining the old world order of being told, even if it was done for the purpose of change, for the purpose of creating a new world order. All they have to do is use a curriculum in the classroom that encourages, that is, pressures the students to participate in dialoguing their opinions to a consensus, justifying their carnal nature, their lusts, over and therefore against their parents' authority. Being told to be positive, supportive of the other students' carnal nature, and not negative, judging them by their parents' standards, pressure students to justify their and the other students' love of pleasure and hate of restraint, doing so in order to be approved, affirmed by the group, resulting in the group labeling those students who refuse to participate in the process of change or who fight against it as being negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, maladjusted, unadaptable to change, resistors of change, not team players, lower earth thinkers, in denial, phobic, prejudiced, judgmental, racist, fascist, dictators, antisocial, and so forth. That is, hurting people's feelings, resulting in the group rejecting them. Do you put your child in this? Your child's going to be a witness because he holds to the truth? Your child's going to become a martyr. Witness means martyrius. The student's natural desire for approval and fear of rejection forces him to participate. The same outcome applies to all adults in any profession who participates in the process as well. Once you are labeled, you're labeled for life. In the Soviet Union, once you were labeled psychological, no matter how important you were in the past, your life was over. Your career was done. Hello to America today and the future. Psalms 36, 1 through 4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms 10, 3 and 4. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. 1 Timothy 3, 2-5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. All the facilitator of change has to do in a positive environment, that is, in an environment which will not judge, condemn, or cast you out for lusting after pleasure or for being wrong, is to ask you how you feel and what you think regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth you have been taught that get in the way of your carnal desires, especially when it comes to behavior, and the facilitator of change owns you. This applies to all who participate in the facilitated dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority. 1 John 2:16. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. I had thinking pleasure, lust is the standard for good instead of doing the Father's will. See, your carnal heart doesn't see doing the Father's will. It doesn't comprehend that. It comprehends pleasure. Again, the heart is deceitful above all things, and that's why it's deceived. And desperately wicked. Why? Hating anyone, preventing, inhibiting, or blocking it from enjoying the carnal pleasures of the moment it lusts after. Once pleasure is a standard of your life, then anybody who comes to take it away, you fear death. You're not just wicked, you're desperately wicked. Who can know it? The unregenerate carnal heart cannot see its hatred towards the Father's authority as being evil or wicked or desperately wicked because its lust for pleasure is standing in the way, justifying the hate. Do you realize the power of these people? Once they get the children into the lust realm, they are not cognizant of their hate towards their parent. It's justified in their eyes. Luke 16:15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Karl Marx in Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, to enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual. In other words, according to Karl Marx, it is lust that is enjoying the carnal pleasures of the moment that the current situation and or object, people, or person is stimulating that makes us at one with the world, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority that gets in the way. Self is therefore actualized in lust, not in doing the Father's will. Karl Marx in Thesis, Fürbach number 6. I've read this. The real nature of man is a totality of social relations. Karl Marx and John Lewis, Life and Teachings of Karl Marx. It is not individualism that fulfills the individual. On the contrary, it destroys him. Society is the necessary framework through which freedom from individuality are made realities. In other words, according to Karl Marx, a child having to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate itself in order to do the Father's will is not what fulfills the child. On the contrary, it is the Father's authority, the child having to do right and not wrong according to the Father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that destroys him, that prevents him from becoming his self, thinking and acting according to his carnal nature, that is, according to what he has in common with all the children of the world. The child's desire for approval from others, requiring him to compromise in order to get along, in order to build relationship, is the necessary framework through which freedom from the Father's authority and freedom to lust, to do what he wants without having a guilty conscience, which the Father's authority engenders, are made reality. Norman O'Brown writes, the individual is emancipated in the social group. Again, Freud commented that only through the solidarity of all the participants could the sense of guilt be assuaged. According to Sigmund Freud, the guilty conscience is a product of the Father's authority, which sustains the Father's authority in society. It's only in the social group that the guilty conscience can be negated. According to Marx, Norman Brown, without the social, the Marxist, Norman Brown, without the social group, the child and society remain subject to the Father's authority. Therefore, the child and society can only be liberated from the Father's authority and the guilty conscience, which the Father's authority engenders, in the social group, which justifies the child's carnal nature, that is eros, that is lust. Kurt Lewin, in Resolving Social Conflict, Selected Papers on Group Dynamics, writes, the group to which an individual belongs is the group for his perception. The group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perception, his feelings, and his action. Kurt Lewin, again, in Wilbur Brookover, A Sociology of Education. The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group. Barker, Demo, and Lewin, again, Frustration, Regression, Experiment with Young Children, writes, change in methods of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of the group. Any real change of the culture of a group is therefore interwoven with the changes of the power constellation within the group. Karl Marx in Fürbach Thesis number 4. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, the former must then itself be destroyed. He uses the German word vernichtet, which is the most caustic word you can use. It means annihilated, eradicated, negated, not even conscious of in the mind of people anymore. While the Heavenly Father is holy, and the earthly father is born into sin, both have the same authority system. And I've gone through those before, so I won't go through them again. It is the guilty conscience which is engendered by the father's authority that sustains the father's authority in the child and in society. See, Marx got rid of the father's society. It's Freud that got rid of the father and the child in the individual. Both had to go hand in hand. So you had to use psychology in a group. You had to get the I feel and I think, the dialoguing of opinions in a group. The guilty conscience is formed, and this is by a Marxist. This is a definition of guilty conscience by a Marxist. The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be the father of oneself. What we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects, now part of ourselves. Dr. Chajanovitz, The Meaning of Community and Community Policing, he's promoting communism. The COPS program is the basis of communism. And he in his book, he goes on and says, you know, we must use crime to gain access to the community. But he does define what you have to destroy. So it's a clear and really good, excellent definition of the conscience. The personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control, restraining from deviant behavior, even when it can be easily perpetrated. Wow, you'd think you'd want to encourage that, right? The family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior. Then he turns around and shows how to destroy all that. There is no father's authority, that is judgment, condemnation, fear of being cast out in dialogue. Therefore, using dialogue to establish right and wrong behavior negates not only the father's authority, it negates the guilty conscience as well. Kurt Lewin in Dynamic Theory of Personality, he writes, and these two sentences are classic. They explain the development of the conscience and explain how to neuter it. The negative valence of a forbidden object, which in itself attracts the child. Now that's a guilty conscience. Thus usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. The father means he tells the students, he tells the children, see, he authors commands, rules, facts, and truth, and he enforces them. You have to have both. That's a father, see. And so here, he's told the children what you cannot do that they want to do, but there's a threat, an induced field of force, so he will enforce it. The second sentence, if this field of force loses psychological existence for the child, if the adult goes away or loses its authority, if we have a positive environment, if we have an environment where there's no put-downs, no judgment, no condemnation, no being cast out, a positive environment, see, there's no father's enforcement there. If this field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, the negative valence also disappears. The guilty conscience is gone. You'll see it later, but it's right here. While the guilty conscience ties the child to the father, or rather the father to the child, the superego ties the child to society. Because all children have this ego. I will, I will, I will. See? And so it's not dad's will, it's I will. And so it's the superego that unites. Superego, and this is Bloom's taxonomy now. All teachers certified on this. Now, they don't read this stuff. They just, it's applied in their material. It's just grounded over and over and over and over. Mantra. It's a mantra. You can't do anything without it. It's fatherless. It's godless. Oh, you can bring God in. You can have a Christian as a teacher, but they cannot function as a believer, the Father. You cannot do this. You cannot do this process and believe in God. Truly believe and speak and walk and talk Christ. You will be fired. You cannot. It's impossible. This is anathema. You have to start with the child's feelings. You cannot start with the Father's command. You can't start with God in the garden telling Adam what he can and cannot do. You have to start with the woman's feelings, her lust to touch the tree. That's where you have to start with Bloom's taxonomy. And so in the affective domain, he says, superego development is conceived as the incorporation of the moral standards of society. The group requires compromise. Therefore, the levels of the taxonomy should describe successive levels of goal setting. Here's a purpose for the taxonomy. Appropriate to superego development, appropriate to socialism, appropriate to communism, appropriate to Marxism. No other purpose for that taxonomy. No other purpose. It is the Father's authority system itself that Karl Marx was out to negate. Having denied the Heavenly Father's authority, all he had to negate was the earthly Father's authority, which he believed engendered the Heavenly Father's authority or religion. Sigmund Freud had the same agenda. Sigmund Freud quoted in Herbert Marcuse, Eros and Civilization, a psychological inquiry into Freud. He writes, the hatred against patriarchal suppression. Now he's speaking of the sons, he's speaking of himself and of the children of disobedience that are the standard for the New World Order. He writes, the hatred against patriarchal suppression, a barrier to incest. What's happened to our culture today? The desire for the sons to return to the mother culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons, the collective killing and devouring of the father. Now, here's the story. The father sees the children practicing incest with themselves and with the mother. And he kicks them out. And they hate him because he's a barrier to incest. And the desire for the sons to return to the mother because they've been separated from the mother culminates in the rebellion of the exiled son. And then they come back. They come to a consensus and they come back and they collectively kill and devour the father. What would you say devour? See, if you kill him, there's a grace, there's a tombstone. Next generation comes by. Well, who's that? Well, that's dad. Well, what happened to him? Well, we killed him. Well, why'd you kill him? Because he kept telling us what we could or couldn't do. Oh, now we have a guilty conscience. But if you eat him, if you bring dialogue into a room developing right and wrong behavior, you just ate dad. There is no father's authority. He's gone. He doesn't exist. He's nebulous. He's annihilated. Dialogue cannot function in you're wrong. You can't keep saying you're wrong and keep a dialogue going. That's a discussion, not dialogue. We'll get into that. It's not really a decisive matter whether one has killed one's father or abstained from the deed if the function of the conflict and the consequences are the same. In other words, the father no longer functions in the home. The husband no longer functions in the home. Sigmund Freud's history of the prodigal son is not of the son coming to his senses, humbling himself, returning home, submitting himself to his father's authority, learning his inheritance was not his father's money, but his father's love for him. Luke 15:11-24. But of the son joining with his friends, returning home, killing the father, taking all that was his, the father's, using it to satisfy their carnal desires, their lusts, killing all the fathers in the land, in other words, devouring the fathers, so all the children could be the same, like them, thereby affirming them, their incest, justifying and supporting their control over them. Abraham Maslow sums this up in his journals, in the journals of Abraham Maslow. He writes, Marxian theory needs Freudian type instinct theory to round it out, and vice versa. In other words, the group needs the lust of the individual and the lust of the group need to come together. Third force psychology is also epi-Marxian in these senses, that is, including the most basic scheme as true good social conditions. Here we have stimulus response. Are necessary for personal growth. What's the true good social conditions? No father present. Only the children, the facilitator of change, the Pied Piper, and the children following him. Only the devil in the garden and the children following him. That's good social conditions. And bad social conditions stun human nature. What's bad social conditions? Individualism under God. The children doing right and not wrong according to their parents' standards. This is to say, one could reinterpret Marx into a lust-actualizing, fostering third and fourth force psychological philosophy. And my impression is, anyway, that is the direction in which they were going. He wrote this in the 50s. In other words, society needs man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to become one. And man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure needs society's justification. The liberation of self, that is, lust out from under the father's authority, is necessary for personal growth, while submission of self to the father's authority stunts human nature. Marxism is philosophy and psychology becoming at one with one another. It is in dialogue, which does not recognize the father's authority, that all can become one, bypass the father's authority in making rules, policies, and laws, that is, in establishing right and wrong behavior, resulting in lust being right and the father's authority being wrong. Jürgen Habermas, another of Frankfurt School, Writing Knowledge and Human Interests, Chapter 3, The Idea of the Theory of Knowledge as Social Theory, he writes, "In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself and the other, they experience the common ground of their existence." Once you get the children together in a group, you put aside the negative, the parents, the father's authority, and they then can share their lust. They find what they have in common is their lust for pleasure and their resentment towards restraint. The carnal heart. And you have a godless group. You have the spirit of Antichrist because they do not only they deny the Father and the Son. There's no need of a Savior. They're living in the eternal present. This is the man who helped set up the climate change scenario, Irvin Laszlo, Strategy for the Future, the Systems Approach to World Order. His book is classic. It lays out the whole agenda of the climate change. It's all a theory. And he writes, this is the purpose for it. You think, well, we're going to save the earth from the drowning and floods and all that kind of stuff. No, it's to change people's paradigm. To get rid of God. Evolution has only one purpose, get rid of sin. So everybody can sin without having a guilty conscience. That's the only purpose for evolution. Same with climate change. He writes, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. In other words, circumventing, going around. One author says, by dialectical, I mean an activity of consciousness struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the formal logical law of contradiction. You go, what? What's simply, how can I get around what my parents told me I have to do? And all I have to do is dialogue. All we have to do is just dialogue our opinions to a consensus. There's no father's authority in there. We just went around it. All your legislators have to do is get in a subcommittee, dialogue their opinions to a consensus, and the Constitution isn't there. It's gone. And you make law that way. Supreme Courts, liberal judges do the same thing. This is a classroom. So he's laying down, this is the formula. Bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making, our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. Individual values, your values, must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests. What's that? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Collectively, transforming public consensus, feeling of oneness, into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. See, worldly peace and socialist harmony. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps. There is no father's authority in the consensus process, in the individual and in the group. Karl Marx wrote in Feuerbach Thesis number 11, which is inscribed on his tombstone. The word change, you heard the word change recently? Here it is. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. What's that mean? The parents have interpreted the world in different ways. So you have children obeying their parents, disagreeing with one another's children because they come from different homes. See, the philosopher, the children, the parents have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. Change is found in stimulus response. It's found in lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life responding to the world, the current situation. In other words, it is the father's authority system. The father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which differ from father to father, that divides the people. It is in the child's propensity to respond or change in accordance to the situation or object, people, or person in the moment. Stimulus or response. Approach pleasure and avoid pain. Resist or remove restraint that gets in the way of pleasure. That is the objective of life. Without the help of the facilitator of change, i.e. the serpent in the garden, the children remain subject to the father's authority system. The facilitator of change, perceiving himself as being the personification of the people, the Supreme Court, liberals, judges, who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasure of the moment that the world stimulates, hating restraint, see it as their duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify their natural inclination to lust after pleasure. When you question the facilitator of change's actions, he will respond with, "It's not just about you," really meaning, "It's all about me, so I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience with your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, my lusts, or get in my way, the people will remove, negate you, since having justified their lusts, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my good." Any minister who calls himself a facilitator of change, this is what he's doing. It's all about him. Anytime the facilitator comes in the room and does this process, it's all about him. So he can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience. With your affirmation, you won't judge, condemn, or cast him out. This is the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist will rule with those around him who will not judge, condemn, or cast him out, because they have all been justified in their own lusts. "It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my own good." This is the true meaning of site-based management. Cameras everywhere. With a culture that has a guilty conscience for doing wrong, you do not need cameras everywhere. You do not need site-based management. When a culture has no guilty conscience for doing wrong, you need cameras everywhere. You need site-based management. You need a police state where the police, no longer having a guilty conscience for doing wrong, are loyal to the socialist cause. Lust. Now, the rest is footnotes, very involved footnotes. Encourage you to check them out. It'll take a long time. I hope you endured just a short capsule of this process, the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus. There is no father's authority in dialogue. There is no father's authority in opinion. There is no father's authority in consensus. This is the issue of the Bible, where we have all the new translations. They come from a different Greek source. That Greek source was through dialogue. The Textus Receptus that we get, the King James, Geneva, and Tyndale, are based upon discussion, because those texts are foundational. Literally, the Textus Receptus, when you read the Greek and the Hebrew, it was the same characters, the letters that Paul or Isaiah was writing. The copyists made sure, it was an intricate process to make sure that the original copies were replicated until we have them even today. Very well done. Excellent. There are any differences in the documents, in the manuscripts? It was not a doctrinal problem. But this dialectic process in the 300s was used. You take scripture, and this is what Martin Luther wanted to be a good Catholic. He found out in the libraries, you would take the verse apart, you'd contemporize the word, stick it back in again, and you changed it. And therefore, for people to understand it, you had to go to an expert who could define it for you. See, and so it was subject to men's opinions. And so you have all these versions, and they all came from the heretical, the heresy sources of Greek and Hebrew that are used today to translate from. And this was done back in the 1880s. I write about the Textus Receptus. Worth spending time to read through it. 99.9% of the professors out there teaching in the seminaries will condemn what I just said. That's why the churches are so sick today, so evil, wicked. Entertain them, they will come. Get them in circles, have them dialogue. As Rick Warren says, you can close the back door through the group. This very same process. The same process that was practiced on a woman in a garden in Eden. Very same process. The apostate church. Well, this is Dean Gocher. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and let the Lord be the one, and he will be the one who directs your steps.